This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning. Yes, excellent. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Fantastic.
That was so nice.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm. Tuesday, the 4th of December.
December is here.
I know. 20 days from now, it's Christmas.
Philip, it is here.
Yes, correct. Yes. Good morning, everybody. Got lots of messages to get to, which we'll do in a moment. Mm. Plenty of stuff to enthrall you, enthuse you, and motivate you this morning. Among other things, we have Leanne Moll here.
Hello.
Oh, she's wearing a blouse.
We have Sia Sangweni.
Oh, yay.
And we have Spongile Stole.
Oh.
Yes, yes. Spongile has been
we're part also of Gareth Cliff here, by the way.
Yeah, sure. All right, we needed to bring that up. Yeah. But Spongile has been part of our team here at CliffCentral.com pretty much the whole time, right? When did you join the first time? Because you came and then you went. And then you came back.
2016,
yeah, it was 2016. And then Sibs came back and, you know, she's like the prodigal son.
Yeah, you always have to come back home.
And, you know, what we've decided is that we need to have her here earlier in the morning. And she hates that.
Yeah, I'm going to warm up to it at some point.
Yeah, you're going to have to because this is what we've been used to for the last 4 years, four and a half years.
Any tips just doing this?
You get a try, and it's really difficult. Try to get into bed before 10.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's hard, man. That is so hard, especially when your clock is like mine is. My ordinary biological, my default biological clock is to be awake late and to wake up late.
I actually have an alarm. Mm-hmm. It rings around 9 to remind me that I have to sleep, but I'm always just like busy at that time.
Yeah, I know. You always just ignore
it. Once in a while, really, it rings and I'm already in
bed.
Yeah,
it's one of those pointless alarms. It's like you sometimes have an alarm if you, for example, if you've got something you have to do at a specific time in the afternoons or whatever, when you wouldn't normally need an alarm, you just need to remember. But you set this dumb alarm and then it goes off and you're like annoyed that you even have to have that.
I figured at some point I will do it.
Yeah.
So let me set it.
Well, has it ever helped you? No. See? It's pointless.
See, that alarm, that sleep app just hurts me so much.
Because you realize how little you've had.
Yes.
Yeah, and you realize how unhealthy that is.
It will just randomly go off at like 9 p.m. and say, you know, to have optimal sleep, you should sleep now. Yeah. And I'm like, I am nowhere close to getting into bed.
Right.
Mm.
So God, rather just ignore
God
that.
Damn it.
I would like to go to bed at 9 and then wake up at 9.
Right. It would be so, like, I know it's healthy and people say, oh, you've got to, but I think I've almost talked my body into getting used to like a 4 to 6 hour sleep.
What? Making me tired here, man.
I'm sorry.
Just this conversation.
Sorry. Anyway, all right. Okay, let's not carry on.
Now, I had the weirdest night of sleep last night, though.
Why?
I had this dream about one of my bullies from school.
Oh.
Mm, nightmare.
But the odd thing is I felt in my dream the exact same way I felt when I was still being bullied. I can't even remember what was exactly going on in the dream. I just remember he was there. And that is how powerful the mind is, because I went back exactly to that day, just feeling like I need to mind my step and I just want to make it down the corridor without bumping into him. And then he just peered out of the corner of my eye. I woke up and I had to take a moment of breathing, like, okay, you're not there, it's fine. But it's so weird how the mind was able to control me. And I felt exactly like how I felt back in that day.
Isn't that weird? Isn't it? That first of all, psychologists would tell you there's an unresolved issue you need to deal with there.
He made my life a misery.
Since you're busy nodding your head, like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
No, I mean, it means, you know, that you have that trauma of some sort. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've got to, you need to solve it.
You got to confront it. And good psychologists will tell you that what you need to do is break it down into smaller and smaller pieces until you find a piece that's small enough to deal with. You start chewing on that, and then you eat the rest of the pieces one at a time until the whole issue is resolved. So it could be that you felt intimidated by or inferior to or helpless against this person, and then you've got to find ways of rationalizing that and coping with it one little bit at a time. And it's hard. I mean, Leanne, you've been through therapy. You know what this is.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
Go break it down.
You know, you can't get rid of it all. It's going to stick with you. Some of it's going to stick with you forever.
But the whole point of living is to overcome these things. I mean, it really is. It's not a challenge. Like, you're not at a disadvantage to every other human because you have this fear or because... And it could be bullying. It could be spiders. It could be a genuine terror of the world or whatever it is. You know, you've got to break these things down.
You can deal with it up to a point, and then you've just got to accept that that's now... It's changed who you are. It's part of who you are, and live with it and move on.
It's weird though, because I remember probably 2 years ago, I went back down to Durban and I was going to pick up someone. And in this neighborhood, I looked over and I realized that this guy lived where my bully lived. And just seeing him in the yard again, I was like, oh my God.
Oh, he was there? So hang on a second. How bad was it with this guy when you were at school? Did he actually beat you up physically?
No, but he was very...
He was mean to you.
More than that, but like he was the leader of one of the gangs, you know, one of the group of kids, and he had a way of influence with everyone else. So he was able to deem like he's cool, he's not, he's a weirdo, you know.
He excluded you, in other words.
He just had the influence over other kids a lot. So when he said like, "Sia, like, what is wrong with you?" You know. Ooh. Then everyone is like, yes, yeah, what's wrong with you? Because kids are just horrible.
Kids are mean.
See, this is what people forget, is that they always think that society makes kids horrible. But kids actually make society horrible.
Shit.
For other kids. They really do.
Those disgusting things.
Yeah.
So it was weird just even driving past his house. We didn't speak. He didn't even see me. I wasn't even outside where I would feel vulnerable.
Has he amounted to anything?
I have consciously made an effort not to
follow up.
Yeah. And it's one of those moments where I deliberately stay away from like his Facebook profile or don't want to find out anything. But I just know that he now has a kid.
Yeah. It's always those who breed, hey.
And
bullies.
This is quite an extreme example though. Like, his mother passed away and he didn't have a father around, but his mother passed away, then all of his mother's investments went out to him, so he's now ruling the roost at home. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder about his younger siblings. What if he's bullying them? And I'm like, you know what, I can't,
I mean, the way, I can't worry about the way you're talking and what you're describing and your feelings so many years on, it's actually a form of PTSD.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly what
not,
it is.
Yeah, not to sound dramatic, but if someone still evokes,
you didn't
something.
Go to war, but it's a similar neural pathway that's being followed.
For those emotions to be re-evoked within you, even in your dreams.
They woke you up.
That is PTSD. And I mean, I'm obviously not in a position to diagnose, but I can quite confidently say, having had it myself, that that's what it sounds like. And it's really serious. It really affects you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, a little bit of therapy is never a bad idea. I always say
for anyone, even if you think you're fine.
Oh, sure. If you can afford it or not, it's sometimes the best way to get in touch with yourself and figure stuff out so that you can lead a happier and more meaningful life. Because for a lot of people, it's a blockage. Until you at least start to unblock that, it's like, you know, if your heart blood vessels, your coronary vessels are blocked, you'll have a heart attack.
Mm.
Like, the same thing happens in your head. Obviously, it's not a physical blockage with neurons, but you don't have pathways open that should be open to you. The only way that you improve your mind is to learn new things and to break open those blockages and to explore new challenges. That's what makes you smarter and makes you more robust as a human being. So you've got to do that stuff. And it means confronting your fears.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll win. Sometimes it'll take a bit longer. you can't give up. That's the point of life. The point of life is to keep on challenging yourself.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they'll find some utopia. You know, everyone's on the search for some perfect life. Like, oh, well, if I can just get my body right, if I can just make $1 million, if I can just find the job that I think is going to make me happy, if I can just be with the person I love, if I could just have a family that is healthy and makes me feel good about myself. Well, all of those things are good goals, right? None of them are bad things to pursue.
Then you start wishing your children would also have those things, and yeah, it's never ending.
It never stops. But that's the point, yeah, is that there is no utopia. What you've got to get out of your head right now if you want to be happy. And I can't believe we've turned this into a
like deep psychological
self-help session. But I mean, I'm in no position to speak because for all intents and purposes, I'm as fucked up as everybody else. But I genuinely am happy.
Yeah.
Like I wake up in the morning of, for whatever reason, it might be just pure chemical luck, you know. It might just be the right amount of serotonin and what's the other one?
Melatonin?
No. Serotonin and oh my God, I've just gone blank. It's so irritating.
What does it do?
Makes you happy.
It's not oxytocin, it's something else. Anyway, can't believe I've forgotten that. How embarrassing.
Dopamine,
thank you. Wake up and I'm happy. So for whatever reason, I mean, like I'm going to tell you what makes me happy and maybe it'll help you. It's not going to help everybody, but we're here to share, right? We're friends.
Yeah.
So this is I think the point is to accept there is no utopia, to accept there's never going to be a perfect life. Every human being that you've ever looked at and role modeled your own life on is going to be human and fallible at some point, because that's how it is. There's this knife edge that we live on, that we've evolved to live on. It's this tiny area of habitable, livable, existable being. There's only this little area. It's a perfect climate between...
It's a shoebox size.
Yeah, too hot and too cold and blah, blah, blah. Here we are. And you got to make the most of it. And that doesn't mean that... It's not bad news that there isn't a utopia. It's great news. It means you're never going to be perfect, so...
There's less pressure.
Yeah. So accept, like, certain things you're going to spend your life contending with. That's okay.
Yeah. And see, the only bit of advice that I can give in your situation is, and it's what worked for me. I was perpetually petrified.
Petrified.
It's a mixture between terrified and petrified.
Yeah. At first, I was petrified.
Yes. And of bumping into this person.
Yes.
Until my psychologist said to me, okay, let's bump into him in your mind. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think he's going to say? What do you think he's going to do? Your immediate reaction is, oh my God, he's going to resort to the same behavior that he did, which made me this way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But in reality, he might not. He might actually feel quite stupid about how he treated you at school. He might feel embarrassed. He might be the one to pretend he hasn't seen you and walk away.
Mm. You see, like I don't care about anyone else. Like, this is how I always rationalize things and how I deal with my own issues is I never want to be in a reactionary state, because that's giving another issue, something else the power. I always feel like it's about equipping yourself so that regardless of what happens, you always feel good. So I never care about whether he will apologize or whether he'll take it back or whether
Leanne is saying is it might help you to understand that maybe he's so embarrassed by the way he behaved and he's so guilt-ridden about the way he treated you, particularly if he realizes, and I think anyone who knows you has figured out that you're not a horrible person.
See, what I think the flaw of that is, if they don't realize it, and already in your mind you're like, maybe
it's okay to let it go.
Yeah.
But it might help you to overcome. And I mean, we're not saying this is your big psychological stumbling block, you know.
No.
This is not the thing that's holding you back.
You have many.
Everybody has many. But wouldn't it be nice to know that this guy might have in the ensuing couple of years since school, felt kind of bad about what happened. And I think there's a huge probability, unless he's got no self-actualization whatsoever, no ability to reflect.
Mm.
There are people.
And then in that case, stuff him.
In that case, he's probably a psychopath anyway, because he doesn't have the ability to see himself objectively in a situation.
Yeah.
So then he's got way bigger problems than you. But if he has, just that little bit of, okay, there's a bit of balance in the force.
Yeah.
You know, you can move on now.
Yeah, I just found it so weird.
It woke you up, huh?
Honestly, at like 2 a.m. and just feeling exactly the same. I think it took me about 20 minutes before I could go back to bed.
Well, I got a couple of messages yesterday, and we're going to talk to two or three people this morning. We're going to speak to Germ, the cartoonist. He's in a bit of a battle with Outer.
You know
Outer. We think they're a bunch of good guys, and usually they are. They're people opposing the abuse of tax. Really,
yes.
I mean, you know, they're kind of like an extra governmental check on what is happening to our tax money. So we'll speak to Germ about that, because they fired him as their cartoonist over some bullshit that I can't even figure out. So we'll figure between us what that is. And then I'm going to talk to Siv Ngesi. I mean, we'll speak to him in a moment, because Siv's an old friend of the show. He was on here about 3 weeks ago, maybe a bit more, with his friend Alex from America, who's in a wheelchair. And Alex has got this brilliant program going on where he's trying to get disabled people to visit South Africa. From America, and see what it's like here and explore job opportunities. And, you know, he's kind of into exchange of that kind. So Alex is doing great work. Siv always comes in with Alex, but Siv in and of himself is fantastic to talk to. I love every interaction I've had with this guy. He's got a great sense of humor. He really loves South Africa. He really does what he can to make the world a little bit a better place. And he was so upset after the Global Citizens concert, because he was there, he was in that mess.
Mm.
And I wanted to talk to him, find out, first of all, that he's okay, and second of all, hear what he has to say about it. Hey, Siv, how are you, dude? I'm good, man. Oh, sorry, Siri thought I was talking to her. I was talking to you. Siv, how are you, first of all? You were at Global Citizens. I got a message from you yesterday where you said you actually were pretty traumatized by what you saw. What did you see?
I don't think I've ever in my life seeing people in such fear. I've never, you know, South Africa, you hear about such crimes and stuff. But I've never seen so many people at one time in such fear. Like guys, at one point, so I was walking with a lady who I just met.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, hey, stand in front of me. And after I said that, it looked like they were all choreographed. There was a robbery to the left, robbery to the right, robbery behind us, robbery in front of us. And that all kept on happening. It just kept on hitting like different places. And it would be like 10 men on one person, just like stripping them bare of like any positions that they had. And then they had the audacity to move 5 meters away from the person they just robbed and share the merchandise amongst themselves.
Wow. So hang on. I need to understand something. First of all, this is after the concert, so you guys are, what, you're walking up the Nazareth Road to that garage?
Yes, we're all on that road.
So I know where that garage is. That was kind of a central pickup point for people, and I don't know how you got home, but I assume, like so many people, you were probably trying to use some kind of ride-sharing app or like an Uber or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was the place where you're going to be picked up, you hope.
So we realized that, like, the system to get out was so bad that we couldn't get anywhere close. So we walked past the Cecil. We were trying to get as far away from possible as from Cecil as possible, but there was too much traffic, and the Uber app wasn't working. But as we say, we just have girls passing us. Just got robbed. Girls coming toward us. Can we please walk with you? So we ended up we had like an extra 4 ladies walk with us. To try to keep safe, but I've never felt so helpless. Like, there's nothing you could do.
Like, what time is this? Is this like 1, 2 in the morning?
No, there's no rule. It was like Beyonce finished at about 11-ish, 11:30. It was like getting 11-ish.
Jesus. All right, now you're a big guy. I mean, you know, I'm a bit of a pussy by comparison, and if I wanted to be protected, I'd probably hang around with you as well. But there's you said you felt helpless. I mean, was it that predatory? Were these guys?
No, it was. Yes, they would look at the girl that I was standing with and look at her like they want to take her bag, and then look at me, and then I'll put my arm around her, and then they'll move away. It was that bad. And so, they would even make eye contact with me. Like, and for me, I'm not used to feeling that anyone would do anything to anyone around me. And then Matt said to me, he said to me, he knows that I am the kind of guy who gets involved. So I go in and fight. That's what I do. You know, if I see someone going wrong, I go in.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me how I didn't go in. I knew that I could do nothing.
In other words, there were so many of them that they would have taken you down. It was like a pack of hyenas.
Yeah, but it was. It felt like that. It was all planned. It was left, right, behind us, in front of us. That's all that kept happening. Boom, 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 boom. Like that, just continuously. And it's so funny because in the audience, inside the stadium, there were some people in there that were like, who are these people? Like they were wearing some of them were wearing those like car guard outfits, like the car guard, like the reflective.
Yes.
You could just see like these ones, these are dangerous types here. But they were in the stadium with us as well. That they were selling tickets outside. But like, no, but I left yesterday, like, I mean, during the show, one second, I felt so proud to be South African during the show. It was like, the vibe was amazing. It was electric. 20 minutes later, I was appalled and I was disgusted and I was absolutely ashamed. Because I've been trying to describe it online to people, other people, and you can't understand the fear. I've never seen such fear. And this one woman said to me, well, that's how we feel inside every single day in this country. And I was like, oh, shit.
Like, yeah, we've got some major problems. I mean, forget for a second the fact that all of this was targeted at women just because they're likelier to be easy victims for these kinds of guys. I'm curious about what sort of... You said it looked like they'd almost planned it and it had been coordinated and they'd sat down and thought, well, this is an opportunity. This global citizens thing is a major opportunity for us to just loot and pillage and hurt a whole bunch of people.
It felt like backup came because the initial robbery had no weapons. The initial ones that we were seeing, there was no weapons involved. And then the weapons started coming from behind us. Then the weapons, the guns and the knives came. So it felt like they literally either called their friends or their friends heard or they mobilized and they were like, okay, cool, let's bring weapons in. That's all. There was a police officer right there. And another thing I said online yesterday, and people were more upset that I said this than the crime. I said, I've been to many shows in my life, in Cape Town, whatever. The way the setup was at F&B, the worst I've ever seen. The security was the worst I've ever seen. You were able to get within the stadium, right to the gate with no one checking your ticket. Like they would look at it, but they wouldn't look at any details. The security was shocking. And the people who were standing in security weren't real security. They were just everyday people. And then I wrote yesterday, this shit would never happen in Cape Town. And you know, you just get very defensive.
Yeah, and then you got attacked. Oh, you got attacked
you
by people. But doesn't this also shows you, like, all of those fights that you're constantly involved in on social media, that's not the real danger. I mean, those people, all big mouths, everybody talks a big game on social media, they're not really dangerous. And anyone who says anything on social media, that you could probably disregard it as easily as you could take it seriously. But the real danger are these people who are desperate, they are ravenous, they will take, they will hurt, they will do whatever is necessary to get for themselves what they need to survive. These are the real dangerous people in South Africa.
I think to you, man, yesterday, I, I, famous university, and I said to him, but me and you have traveled all over the world. I said to him, we've been in some dangerous situations in heaven and I.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, the one at the, I have never been in that situation before, and I said to myself, you know, these motherfuckers would actually kill me for my phone.
Mm-hmm. They would kill you for your phone. Think about that for a second.
Yes, you know, they were opening car doors. They were opening car doors in traffic.
Yeah, forcing people in and out of cars, forcing people to hand over their stuff. It's frightening. It's frightening.
No. So for me, after yesterday, and me and you had the conversation, the New York conversation,
mm-hmm.
it was the first time I've ever took a moment and gone, I don't judge anyone for leaving.
Yeah.
I've never, ever in my life, I'm the biggest patriot. Like, you know, I love this country, but yeah, you know me. Like, mm-hmm. You even call me out of my truck sometimes online. I love this country so much. But when I there was one moment I saw a father holding both of his daughters to his right and his left. I know they were his daughters because they were short and stocky like him. And he walked past me with the most, he had this look on his face of just pure protection. And his one daughter on his right and his one daughter on his left. Mm-hmm. And he looked up and he saw me and he recognized him. And he was like, hey, it's so amazing. And then he walked by. But the look of protection that he had, and he knew that he couldn't protect them both.
My God.
He held them both.
Well, dude, listen, I'm sorry that you and everyone else had to go through all of this on what should have been an evening of celebration. I mean, I've seen people trying to blame Patrice Motsepe and all kinds of weird things like it was Patrice's fault. But what we have to do is look ourselves in the eye and say, what kind of South Africa do we live in where people think that this is an appropriate way to behave in any situation, no matter how bad things are? What kind of a person predates upon another person like this, plans and coordinates something so evil? It's just evil. It's just wicked. And particularly to do this where there are vulnerable women around shows a weakness that makes me very, very nervous.
Yeah, lots of them say about it. A lot of women have shunned us men online and said, where the fuck were you? What are you guys doing? But anyway, I said to one woman, we were victims just as much as the woman in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Those motherfuckers didn't care what they did. They were murdering us as well, bruh. Like, they were hitting men.
Yeah.
They were even stealing women. They didn't care what you were. They didn't care if you were a man, if you were a woman, bruh.
Yeah.
They were just at it. And another thing I want to say that yesterday, so I was angry with the police officers not being there. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute, do we need police to protect us just to get home? We've become a society that we want to blame police, yeah. We want to blame other people. But these are humans who are preying on us, and mm-hmm. they're human as well. We've got to that point when we need police officers.
It's like this is where lawlessness creeps in, and this is where you go back to the law of the jungle, right?
Yeah. But I wanted to talk to you about it. But yeah, man.
Yeah.
It is real.
All right, Siv. Listen, I hope you're not too traumatized, dude, and I hope the people you were with are okay. But you know, I just wanted you to tell the story because you were actually there.
Very cool. But I want to add, the show was the greatest thing I've ever been to. It was unbelievable.
Very nice. Thank you, Siv.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, dude. Nice to speak to you always. Siv and Gessi. Sounds horrible, huh? Mm. Doesn't that sound shit?
I don't know. Well, it's obvious why the Motsepe Foundation and Global Citizen as an organization has been roped into this, but it's really not their fault.
No, you can't blame them for what happens outside of the stadium, and you can't blame them for what happens inside the stadium. They paid for the artists.
Mm.
They put on the show. People are constantly externalizing blame.
No, I mean, the robbers probably didn't even know what the concert was about.
No.
So I admire them, even though I don't think it's necessarily their place. They've opened up their PR company to take in certain requests, or they're hearing certain people out. Should anyone have an experience or they want a refund of sorts, they are entertaining a few of those cases. So through their PR company, they're dealing with it. But I've been following up on a lot of the people who were commenting on Twitter about the SAPS and how they weren't really helpful throughout the entire incident. They're there were people citing that they would walk past just police that were locked up in their own cars. There were police vans just driving past and not stopping. There were some policemen who were just walking as well in the crowds and not stopping and doing anything. There were some people who were just so frightened that they just wanted to get out of the area. And someone in particular yesterday who I saw on social media went to open up a case at the Park Station police station. And they said, oh, no, 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 this isn't the closest police station to where the incident was held, so you can't come and open up a case here. And then someone else said they went to a different police station and they were trying to open up a case there as well. And their experience was the police officer saying, what's the address of the F&B stadium?
Oh, no, you're joking. The police are not your friend. And I think Becky Cele has a lot of work to do here. The commissioner in Gauteng, I think his name is Vish Naidu, has a whole lot to do as well. Apparently, the city of Johannesburg says it's shocked to hear of these incidents. 7 suspects have been arrested in connection with the crimes at the Global Citizen Festival. Scores of angry revelers took to Twitter on Monday morning, saying they were mugged by criminals who grabbed their cell phones as they were trying to catch lifts home. Some have given harrowing accounts of being assaulted by a group of men carrying weapons. Meanwhile, e-hailing service Uber says it will be refunding in full all customers who were affected by its higher pricing implemented on Sunday evening after the festival at FNB Stadium. Numerous people have shared on social media that they were charged high Uber fares, some amounting to 1,000 Rand and above. Tell you what, a lot of people would pay 1,000 Rand to have got out of that.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Anyway, so that's an update. 5 things you need to know. Here's number 4. Malema's family are living in a house on an estate owned by Adriano Mazzotti. So, you know what? I'm tired of Julius. He goes off on a tangent. He screams and shouts about white monopoly capital when it suits him. He talks about the enemy, blah, blah, blah. He talks about how the ANC are in cahoots with big capital. So are you, dude. And you're not even in cahoots with honest big capital. You're in cahoots with a cigarette smuggler. He's a self-confessed cigarette smuggler who's been accused of evading taxes, just like you. I want people to start realizing, and I hope this gets spread around, that we're dealing with a person here. And I have a relationship with Julius where we respect each other, but we're dealing with a person here who has been, he's been accused of and convicted of not paying his taxes. Now, if you believe that a country operates on the basis of the government collecting taxes from people and then dispersing those taxes to make services available, which is what he believes, he's a leftist. He believes that the government should have a much bigger role in your life than it does. But you don't pay taxes. You're out of the discussion. You're not at the adult's table anymore. You need to pay your taxes in order to tell other people that you're going to collect their taxes. Or if you talk about things like redistribution of land or land expropriation without compensation, what you're saying is the state is central to all of this. Now, if you don't even support the state by paying the taxes you are legally obliged to pay, you don't have a seat at the table. Second of all, if you're going to criticize people who have money and you're going to criticize people who operate their businesses, legal or otherwise, you can't go cap in hand and accept the gift of a house in Sandton that is the gift of a self-confessed cigarette smuggler and think that you have any room, any locus standi in legal terms, to be able to criticize anyone else. You are a serf, a vassal, a servant of precisely that which you criticize. If you and your wife are happy to take stuff from a guy who's a self-confessed cigarette smuggler, you can't be a serious person and hold these two thoughts in your head at the same time.
No, it's all contradictory. It doesn't add up. It's hypocritical.
And furthermore, we know that these Vodacom stores were trashed. I see Vodacom have gone like cowards with it. Their tails between their legs to go and discuss things with the EFF, as if there's any discussion to be had. If you want to know what kind of a country South Africa will be if the EFF end up in charge, look at the stores they've trashed. That's what the whole country will look like. And that's not too much of an exaggeration. That's not me being alarmist. These are not people who believe in law or in order. These are not people who believe in equal rights and equal opportunities and the law being equal to everybody. These are people who believe their way or the highway, or they'll trash your store. Don't criticize us. And by the way, if you want to really understand the EFF, I would suggest that the best thing you could do this morning is to go and read Mavuso Msimang's article, which is in the Daily Maverick, called EFF Behavior is a Blatant Abuse of Democracy. Mavuso Msimang is the person who triggered all of this by, at a journalist's awards dinner, making a speech, and one of his slides out of the many was that the EFF are abusers of democracy. Well, they proved it the very next day because they went and trashed Vodacom stores in Limpopo. So if you want to know what kind of a country we would live in if Julius Malema came to power, just go and look at what those stores looked like this morning.
How crazy.
Then there's a trio in an OR Tambo airport foreign currency heist who've been sentenced. I don't know if you knew about this, but three men were accused of robbing OR Tambo International Airport. They were sentenced by the Johannesburg High Court on Monday. They held up security at the airport last year before making off with 27 bags containing 24 million rand in foreign currency.
What a cheek.
What?
What yeah. a cheek.
How do they even know? Well,
accused number one got 15 years, 25 years for accused number two, 20 years in jail for accused number four. Initially, when the case started, there were 8 suspects. Then the NPA later withdrew charges against 4 of them, while accused number 3 was acquitted by the court. So that's interesting. Mm. Some of them got away, some of them were
Where's the money?
Well, I'm sure they'll get the money back. Of course. You know, there's me being hopeful. And then, this is interesting. The city of Cape Town has confirmed suspended transport commissioner Melissa Whitehead is still receiving her full salary. She was suspended 11 months ago after being implicated in tender irregularities
That's
involving
nice.
The acquisition of MyCity buses. I wonder how many people we're paying for in this country who've been suspended. We've got to stop doing that. If you've been suspended for any reason, then during that time you're suspended, I'm sorry, you'll have to find other income. Because you're not working. No. So why are we paying you?
Mm.
And that goes for people in the city of Cape Town as much as for people in national government. The then city mayor, Patricia de Lille, was accused of covering up corruption involving her. The city says she will receive her full salary until disciplinary proceedings have been finalized. Well, then do it now. Why are you wasting money? Why are you wasting time? Do the disciplinary stuff now. People just have so much time on their hands. And then Eddie Murphy, God bless him, has become a father for the 10th time.
What?
Just think
I had no idea.
That headache for a moment.
He's got a kid with Mel B.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. This is his 10th kid. And he's got this new girlfriend called Paige Butcher. Hot.
Hey, but you know what? If you have Eddie Murphy money.
Sure. Why not?
And you can afford 10 kids.
57.
So is the girlfriend the mother of the new baby?
Yes, yes. The 57-year-old comedian and actor, his girlfriend is 39, who already have a 2-year-old daughter, have now welcomed their second child together, Murphy's 10th overall child. Well, mazel tov.
True, he's led a very varied, busy life.
I say so, and with his contribution to comedy, I'm a big fan of Eddie Murphy. I don't mind. Whatever makes you happy, Eddie. And I hope you're just a good father to those kids. That's
yeah.
All. That's all we can hope for.
There's probably going to be a situation where they're at school and it's like, Eddie Murphy's my father. Oh, you're right. No, Eddie Murphy's my father.
Exactly. All right, cryptocurrency update for this morning. Bitcoin is at $3,851, still in the toilet. And Ethereum at $108. Don't forget that we launched a competition yesterday with Easy Equities. Got a message here from Brendan this morning. Morning, Gareth and team. I registered for Easy Equities and downloaded the app. I've purchased 12 investments with my demo account, and NusPass is doing really well. The rest are all in red. Yeah, remember Anthea called.
She gave that tip yesterday.
She called it yesterday. They opened up 6% higher. So if you'd listened to Anthea, you would have been out of the starting blocks with a major push. Anyway, so Brendan's saying he has not yet received his 50 Rand bonus, but he's aware that it takes some time to show up in the account. Yeah, I promise you that what we do, Brendan, and anyone else who's opened up one of these new investment accounts, because it's better than crypto, where I idiotically bought last year this time, sitting with less than half of my money. Anyway, if you want to be smarter than me, which is not hard, then you need to try this instead. Just play around. You don't have to put in your life savings. Remember, the competition is that whoever wins gets 5,000 Rand. So why not try, right? So, Brendan, we are aware of all of these things, and we will pass on all the information and any queries to the guys at Easy Equities. Go ahead and check it out on cliffcentral.com if you want to know more. All right, Ankia says, how disgusting is that the police don't even want to assist people who are being robbed after the Global Citizen concert? How are they supposed to claim from insurance without a case number? I mean, it's enough to be traumatized and inconvenienced by losing your stuff, but then you pay a hell of a lot of insurance for a reason, and there are rules when you claim, one being you've got to provide a case number. Mm. The police should be helping people. I voted for the EFF, said Lubabalo, and I'm disgusted in myself. Well, listen, we were all lied to by various politicians at various times. Don't beat yourself up too much, Lubabalo. Dino Drain is listening to us live on the Cliff Central app. Thank you, sir. Or ma'am. I don't know.
Dine.
Oh. Apparently that lunatic in Tsikimazwai tweeted that she's glad people got attacked.
What?
Yeah, that girl's just, she's totally unhinged. She's unhappy. She needs to go to therapy. She needs a lot of help. She's a very, very unhappy human being. She's got major issues. She's unhappy with her sister's success. She's obviously had bad relationships. She's just a complete disaster. I would have, if I could give any men or women who have anything to do with her advice, she's so self-destructive, she'll pull you into her destruction. Don't do it. Stay away from that girl, really. And the fact that people still go on Twitter to communicate this stuff is, it's beyond me. Like, there's nothing to be gained. Twitter is so awful at the moment that you cannot possibly learn anything useful on there.
Oh, I have a good news story.
Tell me.
Involving Twitter.
Let's turn this into Sed by Sia. All right, let's go to Sed by Sia. We need something positive and optimistic this morning. Sia, please help us out of this situation, will you?
Yeah, let's forget the Nzigumazwais of the world and rather let's focus on good news stories like this. I don't know why good news, a bit of funny news around rings seems to be trending the past few days. Last week we spoke about that ring found in Sandton City.
Oh, yeah.
Still hasn't been claimed yet. But this English couple was rejoicing in their engagement right in the middle of Central Park in New York City. And I think they just, the guy had planned this proposal for a while. It was going to be so perfect. But as he was on bended knee asking his now fiance to marry him, he was so excited that the ring slipped out of his hand and just bounced a few times and trickled into a drain.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh.
You see these videos on YouTube where people propose on bridges over running rivers.
Madness.
And the ring falls through the cracks.
Shame. The couple is John Brennan and Daniela Anthony. And Daniela actually says, I can still visualize the ring bouncing once, bouncing twice, and then it was gone. This is so sad. And they spent 2 hours trying to get it out of the drain. And they even got a help from a good Samaritan who just stopped by trying to help them, but to no avail.
Oh, that's
horrible.
They had
to sadly walk away. But this is where the good news comes in. Thank goodness for the NYPD, who was surveying different footage from the city. And they saw this entire scene happen. And they were able to call in a team even after the couple had left. And they actually were able to get the ring back, and they went to Twitter to try and find this couple. So they posted it on their Twitter account at NYPD News. They said, wanted for dropping his fiance's ring in Times Square, New York. She said yes, but he was so excited that he dropped the ring in a grate. He says, our NYPD special ops officers rescued it and would like to return it to the happy couple. That tweet alone got more than 58,000 retweets, and people were able to connect them to the couple. The couple had already even gone back to the UK, and they don't even have Twitter. But because of this, a friend of a friend of a friend was able to track them down and thankfully put them in contact with the NYPD. So the NYPD then have now said that they've gotten in contact with the couple, and they're even sending the ring over to them in the UK.
Beautiful.
So I think it's just so sweet.
Can you imagine how your heart sinks as you watch that ring bounce and fall into a drain or fall through the cracks?
I've been in a situation before where I was sitting with my husband at the time. We were near Hartebeespoort Dam at a restaurant on a deck.
Uh-oh.
And I had just had my diamond earring set.
Oh.
And he said, please, can I see one closer? And I said to him, you're going to drop it. Oh. Please hold it over the ashtray. And he kind of dismissed me and said, no, man, it'll be fine. Don't tell me what to do. And it slipped out of his fingers.
Jesus.
Through the table cracks, through the bottom cracks. We had to go into this basement area in the dark. You can imagine being a bar, how much broken glass there was.
Oh.
So everything was reflecting.
And you couldn't find it?
The owner found it.
Oh, you're joking.
He actually found it.
I get very nervous. Have you ever walked over one of those drains with the
mm-hmm. the grates?
Yeah, the grate. And dropped your phone and it's bounced, but didn't go through. But you're like...
And you see this happen in slow motion.
Because you know if it falls down there, it's gone. You can forget about it.
Even
right?
Something silly like a parking ticket, when you're mm-hmm. getting into an elevator, and sometimes you might drop it and it falls down.
In the door.
Yeah, through the gap. But yeah, yesterday I went to Woolies and used my benefits card. And when she swiped it, it was a comedy of errors, this little chain of silly events.
Yeah.
But it flicked off of the machine, out of her hand, bounced onto the counter, bounced onto the floor, and landed into my shopping basket.
Oh. That's unbelievable.
So bizarre. But you know, I'm watching that whole thing in slow motion.
Shame. It was that quote that killed me. I can still visualize the ring. Bouncing once, bouncing twice. And then it was gone. Yeah.
That's terrible.
At least there's a happy ending to this.
Yeah. I wonder how many... Have you ever thought about how much of that stuff that goes into the drains and things, like precious things, that gold rings, diamonds, cell phones, or whatever, that falls into these places? Like, there's got to be a place where it all collects.
And I bet you somebody knows where that is.
I'll bet you that is true. And then they come in once every couple of days.
Yeah.
Clean it out. What's the haul today?
Mm-hmm.
Must be interesting. I mean, they say Johannesburg's this network of sewers and mine shafts and it's like a honeycomb under the city. I mean, there must be such interesting stuff down there. I wouldn't want to wade through it myself.
No. Mm-hmm. And if you dig really deeply, you'll find actual gold.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why they call us the City of Gold.
Yeah.
Imagine the smells down there.
Yeah. No, that's not pleasant. Mm-hmm. Trust me. That is not pleasant at all. All right, so loads of things to still talk about this morning. We've got some guests coming in a little bit later on. As I mentioned, Germ is going to talk to us about an announcement he wants to make. We've also got Sibusiso Mkhwanazi from Sintu Design and Farana Budram from My Desk who are coming along as part of the selection of entrepreneurs that we want to meet who are blazing new trails in the business world. And they're shaping the economy by pushing for you and me to buy local. You know, we've been talking about Proudly South African's festive season campaign and the message of buying local. They're going to pop in and talk to us a little bit later on. And then Trevor Watkins is coming in. He's the co-founder of the Individualist Movement. So this is, I suppose, this is an antidote to the crazy collectivism that we see going on, where people want to put you in a group the whole time. And I've often said that one of the weird things that I haven't yet got my head around is that I'm not a collectivist, that I'm a massively individual creature. I don't like belonging.
Mm.
It's a weird thing. I know that sounds stupid and counterintuitive to a lot of people, but I take great pleasure in not belonging. The moment I feel like I'm included in a group, I start rebelling.
So you want to feel individual?
Mm. I don't want to belong.
And exclusive.
I actively seek to not belong, which is very strange. I don't know what that is. It might be...
It kind of reminds me, and put it into a perfect explanation, mm-hmm. when we went on a team building thing once together.
Yeah.
And you would not play the drums in the circle.
I would not. I did not want to.
You would not. He was the only person. Management was really cross with him. But he would not. Even Rena was like, Karis, you've got to play the drums.
The every time that happens to me, people, I end up with enemies that I didn't want to be enemies with because they think that I think I'm better than them. It's not that I think I'm better. I don't want to belong. The minute a whole lot of people are all doing the same thing, I go, oh, shit, here's that. This is that hive mind stuff.
So that was your philosophy in action?
Well,
no.
I've never wanted to belong. The minute...
So what I'm interested in finding out...
The minute I felt part of, like, you know, a group of friends, an entourage of people who travel together or whatever, I just want to get away.
Uh-huh.
It's weird. I don't know what it is. I'm terrified of collectivism, and it makes me very nervous. Mobs terrify me. People who don't think individually terrify me. I think that's where humanity becomes super tribal, super dangerous, and very primate-like. I think that the happiest situation for everybody is when we can respect each other as individuals and not attribute group characteristics to each other.
Mm.
But we'll speak to this guy. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I think I speak for a lot of people when I say we hear about such things, but to what extent?
Mm.
Well, what does it mean? How does it factor into...
Yeah, I suppose we all have to belong in some way.
Yeah, would it change government, you know?
Right. How would it change all of society? How would it change the way that you feel about yourself? And we all have to belong in certain respects, but in other ways, maybe it's bad.
You know, in some ways, we have to conform just to coexist.
Just to make it through the day sometimes. Mm. But we'll find out from this guy. I think Trevor Watkins, very, very exciting, interesting guest. That's after 8 o'clock this morning. Loads of stuff to talk about, lots of people to see, places to go, things to get stuck into. You know what to do, 0861-555-189. Call because Spongile is not sitting there for her health. All right, she's not sitting there just because. She wants to hear from you and I want to hear.
She woke up early, specially.
Right, so you should feel bad if you haven't called yet.
This is CliffCentral.com.